This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it is a shout-out Friday from the 972, a unique shout-out from your friendly neighborhood math tutor. Shout out to my three dogs, Izzy, Abby, and Harley. They're my little best friends, always by my side, and for their unconditional love. Also, you guys always kick ass.
How many dogs is too many dogs?
It just depends on what kind of dog it is, right? Because our first dog, who I love her to death, she's doing great. The second dog, because he's a puppy at this moment, he's not my favorite. Because he's like, all Noah's things are my things, and I'm going to destroy things. So having more than two dogs at the moment feels like a nightmare, but I'm sure you can get to a point where you're like, that's fine.
Okay, all right, we have one, and I'm like, that's enough for me. But my kids are like, hey, we need more dogs. My wife wants more dogs. I'm like, no, one's good enough. Yeah. We have three kids, that's enough.
Needs a strong word. And also from the 956, shout out to my daughter Haley on her 17th birthday. Happy birthday to Haley. Yesterday, we talked about what was the one thing you most regretted from the Cowboys offseason? That seemed to be a very easy question for people to answer. Now, the answers weren't all the same, but they came in with their answers really, really quickly. So my question for y'all on the flip side is, it is undoubtedly been a really tough offseason. You can use the word woeful. You can use the word lazy. Whatever word that you want to use. Personally, I'm
intentional.
I think intentionally lazy. That is probably how I would describe it. What is the best move that the Cowboys have made? Because the Cowboys rank last in spending. Fan frustration is growing. You kind of feel like you know where the season's going to end before it even starts. Was there a good move they made this offseason?
I have three. I have three good moves.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that these are Klay Thompson moves by any means. Like, Klay Thompson's a great move for the Mavs.
By the way,
there's nothing like that happened this offseason for the Cowboys.
Update for you, Corey. I don't know how much this will help. You have one dog. Your kids want more. This person said, we have seven. That's too many.
Okay.
So somewhere between one and seven.
All right. Because I've always heard the idea of, you know, have two dogs so that each one has somebody to be with, you know, when you're not around.
That makes sense.
But then three, it feels like
together all the time.
Yeah. So there you go. Releasing Leighton Vander Esch. For Leighton Vander Esch, good move, because he needs to be done with his football, like playing career. He needs to be done with that, like physically. So again, not a Klay Thompson move. Good move, though. Releasing Michael Gallup was a good move.
Ooh, yeah.
Financially, Kevin, did it benefit the Cowboys?
Yes, it did.
It didn't benefit them to sign him to the contract they signed him to.
Again, we don't want to be Captain Hindsight here. We said the same thing with the Tim Hardaway Jr. deal. When this Michael Gallup deal got signed, don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
But releasing him, while he wasn't living up to the contract for and he wasn't your second receiver, let alone your third receiver.
Sure.
But I would say the addition that I think was a good addition this offseason was Eric Kendricks. I think he understands Zimmer's defense. He understands what he's supposed to do in the defense. And I think he's going to be a good linebacker in this defense. Now, how quickly he can gain the respect of the rest of the guys on the team and the trust of those guys, that's something that we'll have to see. But he's got to step in as one of those kind of guys that can be the middle linebacker that can run the show there.
From the 817 and from the 214, this is where I immediately went to hiring Mike Zimmer as the defensive coordinator. Obviously, he's been the defensive coordinator here before. He fell off in his last two seasons as also the defensive coordinator. But before that, his defenses were consistently in the top 10. And it kind of sounds like he'll try. He might fail, but he's going to try to bring a different level of accountability to the defense and maybe push certain
buttons
players to
he might piss somebody off.
Oh,
he might piss somebody off so much that they're just like, F this, I'm done. I'm a pouty baby. I'm not going to even perform for you. Like that, You see that happen sometimes. Sometimes people with that kind of skill, that kind of talent, they just turn into the biggest babies because they don't want to be pushed or motivated. And maybe that could be the case whenever Zimmer comes in, because he doesn't sugarcoat things. He comes in and says, this is how I want it done. You need to do it this way. And that's the way we're going to win. And I don't know if there are certain players on this team that I don't know if it's going to rub them the right way.
You might be talking about a whole bunch of other players. I want to make that clear. But I'm only interested, or I am most interested in Mike Zimmer and Micah Parsons.
Yes.
Because Micah Parsons, he didn't rank high enough, he thought, in his edge rusher, and he's like, those are fake stats and blah, blah, blah.
And Micah Parsons has talked a big game about being the best.
Yes.
And if there's a coach out there that has a track record of doing it and can make you one of the best players on the field, then it does benefit you to listen to him.
Yeah, because if not, then a question becomes, but do you want to be the best or as good as you can be as long as it falls under your own terms?
Right.
Which is probably not going to cut it, but I can't wait to see how those two work together, because I'm hoping it's going to be freaking amazing. So I'm probably going to go to Mike Zimmer as the defensive coordinator. Now, Corey, this is probably the fact that my first two that I think of are not actual player moves is probably gives your reflection about how little, although I hear you about Eric Kendricks, about how little the Cowboys accomplished this offseason, not extending Mike McCarthy. Now, I know you might be like, well, hold on, they didn't fire him either. True, but at least they didn't draw it out longer than it needs to be, because I do believe they'll cut bait with Mike McCarthy.
No, if they don't win the Super Bowl?
Or if they don't make it to the NFC Championship game.
Okay, so that's the cut line.
I really do, and I might be a chump for that.
You think they'd cut him if they won the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I don't think if they make it to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, make it to the NFC Championship game, there's no way, because at least you can show progress,
he
right?
He wins the Super Bowl, you sign him to a lifetime contract. Just coach for the rest of your life.
I think you might be being sarcastic, but I absolutely could see that.
Really?
Because what are they going to do? He's the first coach in the history of the NFL that's won Super Bowls with two different franchises.
And he did it with the laziest offseason ever.
Yes, and I hope that's in the press release. But I'm glad they didn't re-sign him, because unlike Dak, who I do not believe they have any intention of moving on from, I can see how they would be like, okay, you can go ahead and walk. So I at least appreciate that they didn't tie their money up in that. I'm sure some people would say not extending Dak was the best move of the offseason. Personally, I hate that move because you don't plan on trading him either. At this point, I don't think that Dak is... you're not using him correctly as an asset. If you're like, it's a now or never deal. Well, not really, because you owe him $40 million off the cap after this year.
So after this year, it's now
yes,
or never.
So he can walk. So uh-huh. He can absolutely just be like, I'm not re-signing. You still owe him $40 million off the cap next year if that
happens.
What
about the year after that?
I think you're free and clear once you pay this one penalty of $40 million. Don't forget, you also have a hefty bill coming due on Zach Martin if for some reason he were to retire. I can wipe out about $58 million of your salary cap with those two.
And that might be it. Their whole cause on this is we gotta eat it on this one.
And neither one of them might be on the team.
And the ownership has not shown the desire to eat it whenever that time comes.
You're right. And that's the thing that's agitating. If you think Dak is the best quarterback of all time, if you think he's the worst quarterback of all time, you think he's anywhere in between.
He's still behind Mahomes in the NFC.
I mean, okay, I'm not engaging with that. You should either re-sign him now or you should be looking to trade him. And I know people are like, he's got a no trade clause. I've said this a million times. I guarantee you he would approve a trade if some team was like, oh yeah, we'll give you all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I could find several teams that, like, right now, Raiders, Giants, Jets, Saints, Steelers, Titans, Rams, Seahawks. I think, like, all of those teams would at least consider, if not be outright like, oh, please, God, let it happen.
I'm interested to know if Dak was to go to another team, what team would it be for whatever amount of money that you wouldn't go, oh, he just went there for the money? Every team seems to be close because of parity, right? Like,
yeah.
Something could change for any team. But most of the time you're like, oh, see, that one's just about the money right there, rather than, oh, he went there to win. Because ultimately Dak needs to win for his overarching legacy.
And he
or stay a Cowboy. Because if you stay a Cowboy, you can Tony Romo.
I agree with you, but I always wonder, like, how much is that really worth? You know, like, hey, let's just say this is not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's just say it was the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are like, oh man, we think you're an upgrade. You're the piece to take us over the top, $40 million a year. Or you can go to the Cowboys or whatever, or a garbage team that's going to pay you $60 million. Dude, I care about my legacy and stuff a lot, but $20 million a year? I don't know if I care that much.
And you probably believe in yourself enough that
that
team to a championship.
That's a good point.
Dak probably believes in himself that whether he signs with Tampa or New Orleans or whoever, that he's like, yeah, I'm going to go there and win a championship. He believes he's going to win the championship this year. It's the right attitude to have.
It absolutely is.
Might change. You could be 6 weeks into a season and go, we are not good enough to win. They're also human, too, to realize at some point that this team, this unit, this group isn't good enough.
From the 682 Raiders fan here, we don't want Dak. And that makes sense. They had a lower end version of him for like the last, 8 years
Carr. Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah. Now they got it. Yeah. They got so O'Connell.
They're pretty set.
I think the move to get rid of the guy who wasn't good at cornerback and his friends killed somebody at the West End is a good move.
Kelvin Joseph.
Wasn't that the beginning of last year that they did that, though?
So not quite
the
offseason. They
traded for the guy that made the great play at the beginning of the year.
They didn't re-sign him.
That is still another reason, though. I think the justice system is, I'm going to choose the word fascinating. Kelvin Joseph showed up with the cops and he's like, yeah, no, I knew about that person getting murdered for like a month, but I'll tell you some stuff now. And they're like, you're good to go, buddy. Like, maybe I know that's just how the system works. One more thing I was going to throw out there, and I think some people might disagree with this. I'm curious where y'all stand, especially since we talked about them yesterday or the day before. Trying to fortify the offensive line. Now, it could fail, but the Cowboys clearly made the distinct decision that Tyler Biadasz is not good enough, and we don't think we can get this from Tyron Smith again. And then so they're like, we're going with Guyton. We're going with whether it's BB, whether it's Hoffman. It does seem like they're taking a look and they're like, let's plan for now and the future.
I like what you're saying. I agree. I want to say that, yes, working on the offensive line, especially probably because Zach Martin's retiring, good deal. Hopefully the two guys that they drafted, Guyton and BB, end up working out long term. But something caught my eye and I'm distracted.
Is it tennis?
Yes. How come they're playing a semifinal? Djokovic is a very popular player. The guy that he's...
There's like nobody there.
Yeah. It's like only a third full. Like, it's like they didn't sell any tickets to this event.
And right now in England, it's 5:14 on a Friday. 5:14 p.m. on a Friday.
So I was asking you a question. Why is nobody at this event?
I have no idea. It was the same thing. There was a lot of empty seats before, and Alcaraz has become a huge deal as well. Like, you're on the precipice of setting up the dream men's final that everyone would want to see. And both of those semifinals have been pretty empty.
They just showed 20 seats and two people were in the 20 seats. Yeah. And they didn't fill up the 20 seats. They weren't that big of a person.
I'm just
confused. I'm looking up here and I'm like, this is a huge semifinal. And yet I'm like, could we have gone to this for $50?
Yeah. Okay. And see, that's an interesting point because, I'm going to oddly tie this back into the Cowboys, Mike.
No way.
I bet those tickets weren't available for that price. They were either like put up there for $600 or the people were like, I'm just not going to go, because I know that's how a lot of Cowboys or DFW sports fans feel in general. They're like, those people aren't going to go, but they won't put their tickets up for $25 so I can go. And this person probably like, I'm the most diehard Djokovic fan there is. I'd be going crazy out there. And they're like, now it's just an empty seat.
Somebody said, I think it has to do with Novak's press conference after he won his last match. Maybe they're testing him a little.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
He was out here just admonishing.
He was a little baby about it too. Because in the quarterfinals, he had a walkover. But in the round before, people dared chant the other name of the other player, and it sounded similar to a boo. And he was like, I've been in this game a long time. I knew what you're doing. I
can't believe y'all booed me.
You can't freak me out.
So you're saying people paid the money to go to a semifinal and are refusing to go because they don't like the person?
No, see, that's what that person is saying. That's not what I'm saying. I think rich, fancy people have like the, I don't know, Wimbledon season pass or whatever, and they're like, I'm busy today.
Season pass.
Or they went to the last match and were like, we're good. We don't want to watch any more tennis today.
I guess.
Let's go drink.
I guess so.
Wow.
And
okay,
like,
I just...
Why you would wouldn't give your tickets to somebody else?
Can you imagine, like, I guess if it was played in the same building and somebody went to the NFC Championship game here in Arlington, but it was like a ticket for both championship games. Like, I already saw one championship game. And then on television, only a third of the stands were full for the AFC Championship game.
Maybe they're all exhausted from the Euros.
Oh, yeah, they're prepping for Sunday.
Yeah,
right.
They're all just like, we're worn out, man. We had a lot of stuff going on.
I don't know. I do think it is very strange. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Get the killers on that court.
Coming up next, they can make it work. The Dallas Stars, Kevin Durant, and Georgia football. Do any of these entities deserve forgiveness Friday? Do you? Or maybe my wife? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Kept alive by the Stars. Here's Robertson, looks to bank it in. He scores! A hat trick and a 4-3 lead for the Dallas Stars.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, where the Dallas Stars will need forgiveness Friday for their just dreadful offseason. But in the meantime, in the 903, I need forgiveness because I keep skipping lunch with my wife to do my DoorDash shifts in the morning so I can tolo with the KNC Masterpiece.
Good enunciation, Kevin.
I saw a guy the other day.
Whew.
He DoorDashed, and he was the employee, so he picked up his own order and tipped himself $1.
He kind of got paid to eat lunch?
And so he kind of got paid to eat lunch.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and I don't know how much. Like, I was like, hold on, how much do you get paid for that? Because, Kevin, couldn't you just become an employee and go pick it up every time? Then you're saving money.
That's a great, or always end your shifts by picking up your own food.
I mean,
food.
You're always dumbly going out there and picking up and paying full price.
True.
Why not get paid to go and pick up your food?
Man, that is
like Mike could be getting paid right now to go pick up his
McDonald's. I went and picked up my own food. I used the app.
Yeah.
He could have gotten paid for that.
He could have gotten paid for it.
Now,
in a way, he did.
That's true. And Forgiveness Friday, I feel bad for this, but does my wife need to ask for Forgiveness Friday? Because this morning...
Never. Oh, is this about the picture again and no at the lake?
No, I've tried to forget about that. No, this is because this morning on ESPN, they had the lead up to the semifinals for Wimbledon, and it said the gentlemen's semifinals, and she goes, why did they call it the gentlemen's semifinals? What does that mean? And I go, what? It's the semifinals for the men.
Right.
And then she just looked at me and she goes, right.
Yeah, but why not men's?
That makes sense.
Why not
because
men's?
It's the championship for Wimbledon. They're fancy. Yeah, it's the ladies' final and then
the gentlemen's
final.
Oh, okay, whatever. That's why nobody's showing up to your event.
Wow.
Don't worry, they're getting the TV money.
That's a good point.
They don't care about the seats.
That is a good point.
Is it because they have a dress code? Look at there. There's a stadium. What's wrong with these people?
Gosh.
Good question.
You could be sitting there right now.
Is it because they're wearing all white? And it's like, oh, they're gentlemen today because we've made them have a dress code.
Uh-huh.
Maybe everybody's stuck in traffic.
Could be.
In Britain.
It's rush hour, I guess, in Britain. I don't know if all rush hours
never
are the
driven
same
there
in
before,
every country.
So.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The Dallas Stars. Do the Dallas Stars need forgiveness for what is being described as a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad offseason? There are 32 teams in the NHL. And the Athletic decided to go across all the teams in free agency and kind of give you a metric for the net rating that they added. That doesn't necessarily mean number of wins, but I'm going to give you an example.
Number of nets?
Yes. For the purposes of speeding this along, I'm going to say yes. The Chicago Blackhawks added a net rating of 51.
Wow.
They're the top team in free agency.
That's a lot of net.
The Dallas Stars, they added a 27. Except I'm kidding. They got a negative 27.
What? They gave away. They owe nets?
That's right.
Whoa. They're in debt net.
Where are they going to get all these nets from?
Net debt.
They added negative $1 million in salary, and the net rating that they added was a negative 27, which is third worst in all of the NHL. I'll read you this. Because they felt okay about hopefully the growth of Wyatt Johnson, Logan Stankoven. On defense, that's a different story. Matt Dumba is an incredibly worrying replacement for Chris Tanev and provides nowhere close to the same value as a shutdown option.
Fact.
The The third pair doesn't inspire much confidence either.
Fact.
The Stars are looking seriously top-heavy on the back end, and defensive depth may once again be the team's Achilles heel. Dallas once again enters the season with a clear hole on the second pair.
Second round exit, bro.
I mean, that's a pretty damning indictment of your offseason. It's like, hey, you took something you fixed, and then you broke it again.
Well, and that being said, though...
We call that all in Frisco.
Okay. Yeah!
That being said, you didn't win. And with what you have as your like main core of this team, it hasn't won in a while. Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin.
Sure.
Do you just keep going, we'll keep adding to it? Or at some point, we got to break this thing back and reconfigure it. But they reconfigured with Dumba, who's done.
Bud. Yeah. Whereas they had Tanev, and they would have to pay him a little bit more. But everyone's like, man, he's going to be great. And then he got here, and everyone's like, man, you're really great.
He's even better than we thought.
Yeah.
But still not good enough to win it all. So I guess that's where Jim Neal is he's in that place where I'm like, do I keep adding and keep as much of it together intact? Or was that as far as that team was going to go?
Mike, the more and more, I'm sorry that we watch this Wimbledon, the more and more I'm confused. There are a ton of people sitting outside as well.
What are they doing?
At what point in the match do you think the ushers are like, you know what? Come on in.
Yeah. How are y'all going to sell hot dogs in that place?
They don't sell hot dogs.
What?
Strawberries. Is that pink? Is that pink at the match?
They sell strawberries and cream in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no hot dogs?
That's correct.
They're in England. They haven't discovered the hot dog yet.
They might have beans and toast. I don't know.
Where you take the death of the pig and then you just round up what's ever on the floor and mix it up and say hot dog.
Yeah. You ever think beans and toast is like, tastes like beans and toast?
What the hell did you just say?
Sure it does.
I can't say I've ever
They make it sound so good. They're like, oh, beans
and toast. I just assume maybe after the first set, they're like, all right, we'll go in now. Like, because they were at the last semifinal and they're a little bit tired of tennis.
It is confusing to me. From the 325, woo, LeBron needs forgiveness for embarrassing his son. Did he embarrass his son by coming out and being like, he doesn't care about the effing critics, or was it something else? That was the only thing that I...
Yeah, I don't know how it... Maybe about. By getting him drafted and then him missing that shot.
I mean, it does fall into that category that we talk about in sports, which is your daddy or your mama talking for you.
Oh, yeah.
Or is it your teammate talking for you?
Yeah.
Does he have to specify, defending him as a teammate?
Oh, wow. I don't think LeBron can ever talk for him.
Mm.
He just has to separate and be like, I'm not going to talk for you.
I'm pretty sure LeBron speaks for us all. He told us all that we didn't actually understand the complexities of China. And we should just ease back.
I don't.
On that.
He also told
us that we would go back to our miserable lives, just like he would go back to his.
Yeah. You're going to drive your little tiny cars and park it in your little
sad lives. Now, my question here.
Yeah, I'm going to go live on the shore and be happy.
He was right.
Damn. This involves Kay Adams. She talked with Kevin Durant. Is it Kevin Durant that needs to ask for forgiveness, or is it all these lying ass liars out there? He went down the heights for all of Team USA. And they said, Kevin Durant is 6'11". And he goes, no, I'm like 6'9". And then he goes, so Bam Adebayo, 6'9". He goes, probably 6'8". AD is probably 6'9". He goes, there's no way Joel Embiid is 7 feet tall. And so he just like went down the roster and started correcting everybody's height. Is it Kevin?
Don't we have it from the NBA Combine what their real height is out of shoes?
That's a good question. He says, I know better. So does he need forgiveness, or do the players need forgiveness for potentially all lying about their height?
All right, I'm looking up Kevin Durant.
KD has lied about his height for a very long time. That
but
man
now
is 7
he
foot.
Chooses to tell the truth. 6'9".
That man is 7 foot. He's been saying that he's 6'9" forever. And I think it made sense when he came in the league, right? Because we had not fully embraced this, like, you know, iteration of basketball where you could just play anywhere if you have the skills.
Yeah.
As a 7-footer, he would have been shoehorned to be in a center. He wanted to be a small forward, so he said he was 6'9".
Height with shoes, according to the combine, 6'9".
They are lying.
Height without shoes, according to the combine, I'm sorry, he was 6'9" without shoes.
Okay.
6'10¼" with shoes.
I mean, it's 7 foot. Stop this.
So that's what the NBA Combine says.
Are you doubting the Combine, Reggie?
Yes.
Wow.
Then what is the point of the Combine if they're giving up false
information? It says Al Horford 6'8". Do you believe that?
Nah. And to be fair, basketball players do be lying about their height. Dwight Howard was not no 7 foot. He might not have been 6'10".
Dominique Jones was 5'10".
Oh my gosh.
Why was that important?
Wasn't that Dojo when he was Maverick
NBA champion?
Yep.
That's right. Now, this one is a little...
Without his practice, I remember Rick Carlisle had to say something. It's kind of like, say something nice about everybody. And he's like, without his practice.
And then he stopped.
Without him pretending to be a basketball player, I don't know how we would have got through practice.
This one is a little bit more serious. What the hell's happening with Georgia football? Now, I know you talked about the positivity with the giant offensive linemen. Clearly, they've been winning championships, but they also just had another pair of players arrested for reckless driving charges. And this pair of arrests means there have been 20 separate incidents in which somebody involved with Georgia football has been arrested on a traffic offense. Since January of last year.
Do they have an Audubon there in Georgia or something? What's going on?
And like some really terrible stuff has happened.
Yes.
As a part of this. And you would think you would see it and be like, ooh, maybe we're not all invincible and I should be a little bit more careful. By the way, this is the fourth Georgia player to be arrested on charges of reckless driving since March.
Really?
And I'm not saying get a ticket, arrested. For reckless driving since March. That feels
Like
something else bad is going to happen. And I don't want that to be the case.
If you're Kirby Smart, are you kind of having the talk with everybody? Guys, stay out of cars.
Yes, what the hell?
Don't even drive.
Well, no, not that.
Take the team bus everywhere.
Don't be dangerous. I don't know if just stay out of cars, how
only ride bicycles.
Yes. Feasible. Skateboard to class.
So they...
Don't even go to class.
They skateboard to, I mean, maybe.
Stay in your dorm room.
You got virtual class and then take the team bus.
Don't even come to practice.
To the plane.
Outside is dangerous.
Okay, maybe.
You have allergies.
Maybe not that far, but maybe okay. We all could right. Have a discussion and say, like, the real world is not Grand Theft Auto.
Because it was drag racing, Mario right? Kart. Wasn't that what was going on, but like, the last year?
Yeah.
Was drag racing
or
was a
couple
big
years
deal?
Ago, yeah.
I would have, you got to have a talk with everybody. And you also got to go to the car companies that are trying to give them NIL deals and be like, guys,
hey,
don't give these guys Lamborghinis. They're just going to mess it all up.
You can give them the money. Don't give them the car. And then does Rory McIlroy need to ask for forgiveness or is he just being charmingly not from America? He was having dinner with the European Cup captain, Luke Donald. And they started talking about the U.S. captain, Keegan Bradley, heading into the Ryder Cup. McIlroy said of the selection of Keegan Bradley, yeah, definitely I think it was a surprise for everyone. I mean, it's certainly a departure from what the U.S. has done over the last few years. And, you know, time will tell if that's a good thing or not. And he said, I certainly think it's an interesting pick.
Oh, wow.
It felt like, now, interesting can do a lot of things. It felt like in this case, interesting was code for dumb.
Or
that's just my opinion.
This could be the greatest thing or the worst thing that could happen. You don't know. Like that's what interesting is to me. Because you don't, when I don't have a clue what's going to happen, I'm more interested. I'm like I want to know.
You're maybe a lottery guy.
Yeah, I love the lottery.
From the 469, everyone in Georgia is a reckless driver. Guess y'all have never driven in Atlanta. I have. It was only
twice.
For 2 days.
Yeah.
And one of the things I most remember is we stopped at a breakfast spot and I was going to throw away the part of my breakfast that I didn't eat. And this dude goes, hey, I'll throw that away for you. And I knew he just wanted to eat it. And that was fine. And I was like, I would have given it to you. But I was like, sure. And then he sat back down and ate the rest of my breakfast. He seemed happy.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Sounds good.
We're the KNC masterpiece. Was that not related to the roads? This is weird. I was in Atlanta.
I like your stories, Kevin.
He's like, did he take a bite and then have to go find some salt and pepper?
he might have.
Where's
I do not
mustard
recall.
On this?
Why is this so bland? This usually has more flavor.
I do not recall that part, but I can't rule it out either. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan on a shout out Friday if you want to send those in. Coming up next, though, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, the top safeties and tight ends in all of the lands. Next on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Gridiron Gravy coming up in just a second, but also it is a shout-out Friday from the 469. please get a shout out to my girlfriend, Dory. Her birthday is tomorrow. She's a new Tolo and loves the show.
Just keep swimming, Dory.
Dory.
Does that help? Don't you think she's probably heard that like 8 billion times?
You mean like Adrian, my
now
wife?
8 billion and one.
Never heard Adrian.
God. Why do you still do it to her?
I don't.
Okay, good.
I don't.
It's her parents' fault.
That's true. She was born after that movie came out and the second one.
Her dad wanted to name her Asia, A-J-A.
Ah, that'd have been cool.
And
could have been a MVP, WNBA.
I think it got vetoed.
I'm gonna call her a jaw.
All right.
Asia.
Asia's A-S-I-A. I've already gone to all of the hospitals around here and made sure if somebody wants to be called that, how to spell it.
I do like the idea. I would watch that documentary, a reality TV show. Let's be honest. That's not a documentary.
I probably would.
Dictating names.
These are the only ways your names can be spelled from now on. All right. Give me some of that cut number six, because it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Pollard to the right of Prescott in the shotgun. Play action to Pollard. There's Jake Ferguson on a slant. Now he hurdles a defender at the 30-yard line. He went over the top of Quandre Diggs, and he got near the marker. They'll mark him about a yard shy. But that's the second time we've seen Jake Ferguson go airborne.
Is Jake Ferguson one of the top 10 tight ends in football?
Yes.
We found out yes yesterday. Because I asked on fantasy football, and you said he was eighth.
No. That is true. I went through that yesterday.
Perhaps this segment will take a pretty hard turn.
Oh, no. I think he is.
This morning, ESPN, as they've been consulting with their coaches, scouts, executives, etc., for position by position, their rankings go like this. Number one, Mushin Muhammad. No, I'm just kidding. It's George.
Like, that dude is not a tight end for
Carolina
one.
Panthers?
Is he still in the league?
I just wanted to make sure. No, I wanted to make sure you guys were paying attention. What? Yeah. Travis Kelce.
Tell you what, man. Jimmy Smith's pretty solid with Jacksonville this year, too.
Travis Kelce is number one.
Only because of his girlfriend.
How about Paul?
Just to be fair, he was number one last year, too.
Huh, Mushin Muhammad is 51 years old.
Yes, so not in the league.
I bet he can still do it.
He might be coaching.
Yeah, you don't know what he's doing.
All right, fair. Not an active player anymore. Travis Kelce, one. George Kittle, two. Mark Andrews, three. Sam Laporta, four.
He was really good last year.
Oh, you got an issue with that?
No, just surprising to see, or not surprised, but interested to see just how highly, a young tight end ranks. But you're right, he was really good last year.
Yeah, and Goff trusted him completely. It was just, he got gassed.
Jared against Goff, not Coco Goff.
Right. He got gassed against San Francisco.
You don't know how
to
trust him.
They went to him too much against San Francisco in the first half, and by the second half, San Francisco's done. Linebackers and safety just wore his ass out.
Number five, TJ Hockenson. Number six, David Njoku. Number seven.
What? I'm sorry.
You want to stop
there?
I have
zero faith in David Njoku. Like, every year this is the year that David Njoku's going to put it all together. And he is a physical specimen. Like, definitely a physical specimen. But I bet last year he wasn't even the top 15 on their list. I don't understand why that would change.
Ooh, let's see. Yeah, last year he was an honorable mention. Dallas Goedert.
He's good.
Dalton Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid I picked up in fantasy last year later in the season because Dawson Knox got hurt. And so Kincaid was the pass catcher for Josh Allen. I think Dalton Kincaid's going to benefit huge this year. He's a really good receiver.
You think Evan Engram is better than Jake Ferguson?
They finally utilized him in a way that he should have been.
Evan Engram?
So, yes.
You mean still catching less than half the balls, probably? Let's go look at Evan Engram's
numbers. I have to go check on that.
Evan Engram's one of those guys that where you're like, oh my gosh, we need somebody to catch the ball. Evan Engram's wide open. And he's like, I'm dropping it.
Evan Engram.
He did have 114 catches last year. That's impressive.
Break back. Evan Engram is number nine on the list.
Highest catch percentage of his career, 79 last year.
Yeah. No, not broke
Maybe
back.
Maybe he finally put it all together.
Evan Engram, nine. Dalton Schultz, 10.
Makes sense.
which means Jake Ferguson.
Dalton Schultz was really good
10.
With C.J. Stroud last year.
You think he's better than Jake Ferguson?
I think they're even.
Okay. Jake Ferguson is at the top of the honorable mention.
Good.
So he's number 11 in all of the land.
That feels right.
He's going to get a lot of targets in this offense with Dak. Dak loves the seams. So
one NFC scout said, fierce competitor, has some swag to him, and seems to have a chemistry with Dak Prescott.
Is he going
to
outswag the safeties?
Yes.
Maybe. Remember last year, there was a moment where maybe Dak got hit, and Ferguson was the first one to step in there and put his say, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There was the great Isaiah Stanback moment was in a preseason game when Ferguson caught like his first pass turn and leveled a dude, and Stanback said, I lift weights for a living. You're not going to tackle me. And I was like, yes. And he does have this toughness about him. I think he also dates a Cavender sister. He also, but remember even Chris Collinsworth made the line last year, everybody knows that Jake Ferguson is where it starts. And you were like, nobody's ever said that, Chris Collinsworth. but that's from then on, Jake Ferguson did have that perception.
Now, it is also a shout-out Friday from the 469. Can I give a shout-out to Kevin, Corey, and Mike? I'm married, and my wife won't let me have any friends.
That's on you.
Oh, that's sad.
You just tell her, I'm going to have friends.
Also, I feel like they're not, but I need help if anybody can tell me. I watched Godzilla Minus One, and it was really good. And I know HBO Max now has Godzilla and Kong.
I saw that too, and
are
I don't know what to do.
Related? And are they in the same Godzilla pantheon or not so much?
I don't know.
All right, so Jake Ferguson.
Carter says they're not, and he's the de facto.
Okay. Hey, he's the one who taught me about the Willy Wonka sequel, so I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Carter. Now, on the safety list, probably wouldn't surprise you that there are no Cowboys in the mix here.
Nope.
Okay.
It does not surprise me at this point.
I've been watching Cowboys from the 90s recently.
Right.
I've moved on from the 70s.
Okay.
Boy, the Cowboys had great safety
they
play.
They hit.
They really,
God,
really
they
did.
First, it was James Washington and Thomas Everett. And then as it progressed, you then had Darren Woodson enter the mix, then Brock Marion enter the mix. And it was like that whole time period, the Cowboys did have great safeties.
Sometimes I wonder if Thomas Everett gets kind of lost in the shuffle because of how good everyone was. The highest for the Cowboys was Donovan Wilson at 22. So pretty far down the list.
Wow, that is interesting.
Antoine Winfield Jr. leads off the list, followed by Kyle Hamilton, Jesse Bates, and rounding out the top five, Minkah Fitzpatrick and Javon Holland. So you are all caught up there. They will continue to do this every single day over the weekend, interior offensive linemen and offensive tackles. And on Monday, you will get the quarterbacks, which I'm sure will cause a lot of discussion. Let's go from that to Jerry Jones. Got some good legal news. And this just shows how much I don't totally understand the legal process. A federal judge said yesterday that the non-disclosure agreement, or whatever we're calling it, they agreed to, him and Cynthia Davis agreed to in 1998, is legally upholdable in Texas. Now, that's the springboard of their whole case because they've been like, hey, we stuck with this agreement. They have not. And Cynthia and her daughter, Alexander, who's alleged to be the daughter of Jerry Jones, they've been saying bad things about us and disparaging us and everything like that. And so the judge is like, that legal argument is upheld. If you entered in this argument, you can't be saying bad things. So then the trial will dive into, like, do they actually say bad things and everything like that. But honestly, it's a win for the Jones family, and I remain confused about how Alexandra Davis could be held to an agreement that was signed by her mom when she was one that directly affects her.
Have you seen the whole agreement?
I haven't read the whole agreement.
That's only the reason, like, there was a stipulation that even this person can't say anything. I don't know.
I'm sure there is. That just feels unfair to the kid.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But the law has decided.
That's the precedent now, huh?
Yes. I mean, at least in Texas. I don't know.
Where we set precedents.
That is sometimes true. And then sad news, Monty Kiffin, the architect of the Tampa 2, also spent a couple of years with the Dallas Cowboys, He passed away at the age of 84. He definitely feels like a defensive icon right there.
Yes, absolutely.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is also a shout-out Friday from the 214. Shout-out to my daughter, Aubrey June. She turns 3 today. Happy birthday to you. I hope it's an awesome one. Coming up next, is there anything in particular the Rangers have to do in this Astros series to keep you believing?
Win.
We'll do it next right here on The
Adrian.
Fan.
Adrian.